May our reconciliation through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and our redemption from the cross sustain us in our faith and in our hope for a righteous future. May I decrease while you increase, Father God, as I speak to these children of God. Amen. You may be seated. Good morning, Christ Church. What a wonderful, perfect, glorious morning in the fall. We know what's coming, but hope is in the morning. Now the old man was sitting under the tree of the Marimon on the west bank of Israel in Palestine. This was somewhere about 4,000 years ago. And he was probably daydreaming, as we all do from time to time. His tent gave him relief from the heat of the day, and suddenly, while he was sitting in his tent, three men appeared and were standing by him. In his newfound faith, the man that I'm speaking of is Abraham. Immediately, Abraham surmised that these three men were divine and holy. Fortunately, that was a correct assumption. Abraham's success and his hospitality was extended by his wife Sarah, and the presence of the Lord was revealed. Sarah wasn't so innocent in this situation. Sarah actually stood by the tent door and was eavesdropping on what was going on inside the tent between Abraham, her husband, and these three divine men. There was a promise of a son that was revealed to Abraham and eventually to Sarah also. Now you're probably thinking, so what was so phenomenal about a husband and a wife and an announcement of a child? Well, Abraham and Sarah, as told in the book of Genesis, were advanced in age. Long story short, initiative. Make you think for a few minutes. I almost said something else, but this is the church. I'll stay here where I'm supposed to be. Abraham was 100 and Sarah was 90 years old when their first son was born. So that's what's so phenomenal about this situation. They waited for 25 years after God's promise of a son to be proud parents. Now, somebody else we can think of that waiting, because waiting is just a couple of things that I want to tell you about in these next few minutes in our sermon this morning. Abraham was the first person and Sarah who waited. Jacob also waited 14 years to marry his beloved. Joseph suffered for 13 years in prison before he was redeemed. And Jesus, our Lord and Savior, waited for 30 years before fulfilling his Father's will and being led to the cross. Our lesson today begins with the context then of waiting. Waiting for God to do something, well, that's valid. Especially if we are fervently praying and holding up our part of the bargain by following God's commandments and living a righteous life. Well, you might say, how do I know if I'm living a righteous life? Well, I'll talk about that later. That's another whole sermon. But I promise you, we'll get a chance to talk about being righteous and what that means. But for this morning, getting back to the algebra of waiting, logic contends that when we wait, the fundamental reason that we wait is because we have faith that something will occur, that something is going to happen at the end of our waiting. We may get a steak dinner or a vegetable quiche. There are vegetarians in the crowd. Or we may get wisdom and understanding through the Holy Spirit. No matter what we want, or no matter what we think we want, when we wait, we have an understanding that something is going to occur. Something is going to come. We may be blessed to see God's hand and the justice that is meted out for perpetrating evil or doing other things, but waiting is what we should be doing. Now, our lesson this morning with Habakkuk says to keep watch. Keep watch. Wait for God's response, because it will come at an appointed time, known only to God, our Heavenly Father. A lot of times we pray, a lot of times we wish for things to occur, but we have to wait, because God is actually listening to us. But God's not one of these type of things that you just say, I want, and God responds. And a lot of times we all get caught up in that, don't we? I have to ask you all to raise your hand, but I'll have to raise my hand with you. Because we get caught up in this thing of wanting God to answer our prayer, or wanting God to do something, but we don't want to wait. That's the 21st century. We don't want to wait. We just want our immediate response. Now, this morning, our lesson tells us that the righteous live by their faith. Habakkuk actually said that. So let's suppose that we are all righteous. We are all righteous. You can own it. It's okay. You can own it. The power to believe has been given to us by the Holy Spirit. Believe it. You are righteous and you are holy. Now, these four men faithfully waited with faithful intentions, and at the end were rewarded for their faith. Now, in full transparency, because we have a church that we have quite a few folks that are multigender, I should say. And in our interpreting the Bible through gender appreciation lenses, these four men were not the only ones who were models for righteous waiting. The ladies also were models and showed this coveted faith of waiting. Mary, the mother of Jesus, waited about 27 years to intervene and validate her son, Jesus' divine power, at the wedding in Cana. If you remember, it was Mary who called out to Jesus, change the water to wine. Jesus said it wasn't my time yet. But Mary, having that mother's intuition and having that divine spirit, said, no, you need to go do it. And Jesus did it. And there we have our first miracle. And then that pointed Jesus to Jerusalem. For the next 3 years, Jesus ministered and ended up, as we know, in Jerusalem. When Jesus changed the water to wine, that was a phenomenon, but it was directed by a woman, his mother Jesus. Remember Mary and Martha, Lazarus' sisters? They faithfully waited when Jesus said, let's go to the tomb. And Jesus brought Lazarus back to life. However, as children of God the Father and recipients of the Holy Spirit from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we must do our part in waiting. We must keep the faith by continually praying and praising God for mercy and grace, and asking for faith renewal and sustainment. We must understand that nothing is too hard for God. Let me say that one more time. Nothing is too hard for God our Father. There are a lot of things that are difficult for us, but God our Father, nothing is too hard. We must allow God's justice, not our justice, to prevail in times of contention, times of strife, and wrongdoing that is all around us today. We must prevail. We must be faithful. Now, 2 Peter actually tells us in chapter 3 that with the Lord, one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. So when you put that in the context of waiting, we still understand that we have to wait. But our waiting does not conform to God's time and God's waiting, because God knows what has to be done. And we may not think that we know what God is doing, but we have to wait. Ecclesiastes actually sheds some light on God's time also. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, "For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven." In other words, God's time clock does not wind up a tick-tock the same as our time clock. Therefore, it's consequential to not to expect immediate God's responses to our prayers and sometimes our wishes. It will come, but it's going to come a little later. All the people that I mentioned before waited. They waited faithfully. Faith is the second thing that I want to just bring to your attention this morning. Waiting faithfully. We are expected to pay attention to our own stuff and leave the stuff of others to be dealt with by God. So when we think about waiting, we are waiting because we want God to do something. But we can't start comparing ourselves to other people, because we're supposed to be taking care of our own stuff, not somebody else's stuff. That's kind of hard, isn't it? That's really hard sometimes. But God knows what has to be done. And we're supposed to just witness for God. We're supposed to witness for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and let God do the rest. And God will do the rest in the time of God, not in our time. Our song today tells us to trust God. Don't fret. Take delight in the Lord, who will give your heart's desire. Now, mind you, it may come in the presentation. It may not come in the presentation of a neatly wrapped gift with a bow on top. But think about your life. Start with the fact that you are all sitting here this morning in Christ Church, despite the struggles and challenges that you navigated this past week. Now, that's a blessing. That's a blessing that all of us are sitting here. Go ahead. Stop counting your blessings. Your faith in God's mercy and grace has brought you this far and will continue to carry you through the next week. In my kitchen, I keep index cards taped to my cabinet. Each time I go for my cancer treatment and my weekly blood test, I write on the green card with a green marker. And the words that I write says, "Today was a blessing and a success." I do this mundane exercise because I have faith that the prognosis that I have been given is longevity. Maybe with some needles, and maybe with some blood tests and medicines on the way, but life is a promise. And my faith in God is a blessing. In 1972, Cat Stevens wrote a song, and we actually sang it a few minutes ago. Morning is broken, or has broken, I should say. It is a song of gratitude about the creation, and we are in the creation season in our liturgical calendar, the Episcopal liturgical calendar. Everything relates back to the beginning in Genesis. In spite of the unrighteous behavior of Adam and Eve, through God's justice, we live our lives knowing that God loves us. That's why we should always be spiritually resetting ourselves, asking ourselves, what we will say if God asks us, are you doing what you should be doing? Are you a righteous and holy person? Are you a faithful person? Are you merciful? Are you loving? And are you forgiving? Now, the answer should be that should, S-H-O-U-L-D-B-E. The answer should be yes to all those questions. It's okay. We all come up short of God, but God still loves us from the beginning. And God loves us even now, 4,000 years later. In 2 Timothy, our New Testament lesson, Paul tells Timothy not to be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So don't be ashamed about your shortcomings, because just striving for constant sustainment of faith and faithfully waiting is what God wants us to do. Remember, the creation of humankind came from the Heavenly Father. If justice in the beginning was tempered because God loved Adam and Eve and humankind, then that same love is the love that Jesus attends to us today. Cat Stevens wrote that song. And listen to the words. Morning has broken like the first morning. Blackbird has spoken like the first bird. Praise for the singing, praise for the morning, praise for them springing fresh from the world. Sweet, sweet the rains now fall, sunlight from heaven, like the first dew fall on the first grass. Praise for the sweetness of the wet garden, springing completeness where his feet pass. Mine is the sunlight. Mine is the morning, born of the one life. Eden saw play, praise with elation, praise every morning, God's recreation of the new day. In 2003, Pharoah Sanders actually produced a song called The Creator Has a Master Plan. So this morning, my sisters and brothers, be faithful. Faithfully wait. You will see that our Creator has a master plan. That's a promise. And that's not a promise from me, but that's a promise from the Creator, our God, the Father. Wait on the Lord, as our lessons this morning tell us. Be faithful, and your strength will be renewed. Faith is not something that is urgent. Faith is gradual. Faith grows. Faith sustains us. But it sustains us only if we faithfully wait. Faithfully wait on the Lord to answer our prayers, to bless us. But we can only do that when we count our blessings. And we count our blessings by looking at what God has done for us. And we are faithful because we trust that God will continue to do the things that God has done for us. Faithfully wait, my sisters and brothers. Be renewed. Be renewed with the strength of knowing that God loves us. May the love of God keep you and bless you. Amen.